This morning I want to talk about an invitation I received, but also kind of an invitation from God. And I want to start off by showing you guys a picture and a little bit of background to the picture. Some of you guys might know Kevin and Lynn Quinn back in the back there. They're kind of new. They've been coming for maybe 5 or 6 weeks or so and just recently moved here. And at small group this last week, Kevin was showing me a picture. And years and years and years ago, back in the 80s, he was involved in the same church that I connected with when I went to college. But we didn't think that our paths had really crossed. And so he found this picture and was showing it to me. It was of a student group back in the day. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. And it was from 1985, which is when I was just starting to attend the group. And if I got the right one, is that you, Kevin? It's pretty hard to see from there. So no one will know, right? So sure, let's go with it. That's Kevin. And he showed me the picture, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of vaguely remember seeing you around. But I didn't know that we had ever seen each other or anything. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this picture. I always hate it when people do this because it's like, it's always super meaningful to the speaker, right? And to the audience, you're like, I don't care, right? So some of you might remember John and Carol Meyer. John, for many years, was our regional director and has come down here and spoke several times. And so Kevin's pointing out some of the people he knew, and I was pointing out some of the people I knew, and I'm like, oh, there's me. It's like, okay, that's pretty cool. I had no idea that we had been in the group at the same time and that I was in the picture. So that was kind of fun. But this was a really special group of people to me. And there are a few things that stand out about this group to me. One is I felt like we had been invited into a mission of reaching the world with the message of Jesus Christ. And I didn't know how we were going to do that. I just thought, that's kind of cool. And that's something that I would love to be involved in. I'd love to give my life to that. And I think this group was unique in that people were radically committed to that mission. And people were willing to make sacrifices to help reach people and to bring this message to just anyone who they could. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And I think another thing that was really unique about the group is they really emphasized a unity to one another, a commitment, a devotion to each other. And so basically a devotion to each other in this cause. As we strive together to follow Jesus, that we would be committed to one another and have deep relationships with each other. And so, man, I just looked at the picture and a lot of the faces are just kind of vaguely familiar, but it's just like, wow, there's just a place in my heart that it's just super sweet times. And I've had many other sweet times over the years as well, but it was definitely a special group. And I recognize that there were problems in the group. The group was very, very young. Even the leaders of the group were very young. And so I think we did some things that were probably ill-advised and maybe a little out there, maybe some political involvement that was crazy. I remember the first thing I ever did with the group was I picketed Gloria Steinem. She had come to our university, and I had no idea who she was. I just thought it'd be really fun to picket somebody. And, just like when you go to college, you should be radical, right? Do stuff like that. So I did that. And I remember people carrying signs and picketing, I guess, or kind of that type of thing on campus about the Sandinistas. And I don't really even know who the Sandinistas were, but I guess they were bad people back in the day. You know, maybe there's some political involvement stuff that was unnecessary or not good. I don't know, maybe some of it was good, but we did some things that probably weren't the best. I think there were some things, just even doctrinally, maybe there were some things that were a little bit goofy. There was some legalism, for sure. There was some legalism. And some of that I even recognized at the time. Like, wow, there's some weird stuff here. But there was also this other stuff that it wasn't like the net effect was negative, but there were definitely some growing pains over the years. There was some elitism. I think we kind of felt like, man, God has given us this mission to reach the world, and we're going to reach the world, and we're the ones doing this, and other people should all quit what they're doing and come jump on our bandwagon. And it just had that flavor a little bit. Not that anybody would have said it that way, but you know, it's just, it again, just really young people, and maybe not all of that was good. We were also really idealistic, and I think we just thought, you know, just we're all going to follow Jesus, and everything's going to go great. And I remember back in the day, you know, people would say, well, no one in our group of churches has ever been divorced, and then I got divorced, and it's like, ah, kind of hurts. It's like, oh, I'm that guy, you know. But, you know, over the years, that happened, right? People got divorced, and, you know, we thought none of our leaders would ever fall away, and people fell away, and you know, bad things happen. And not to make light of that or excuse that, but that was just a reality of life. And I think we would have been shocked back in the day to think that some of the things would happen that happened. But yet, I really felt like we were a really, really committed, united, good-hearted group of people. The students and the leaders and just the whole group was really, really sweet. And I think about this group and how they've influenced so many others. This little tiny church in Ames, Iowa, I can't remember exactly, but they started like 25 churches in a period of 10 years, or I don't know, maybe it's more than that, but they started churches all over the place, which was amazing. I think even like Kevin and Lynn, even though they didn't stay with this group of churches, they went to Hawaii for 30 years. They were involved in international student ministry and impacted students from all over the place. And so there are people from this group that were touched and invited into a mission who expressed that in a lot of different ways that were amazing. I think even for our group, to some extent, we've been influenced by the faith and zeal and heart of that room full of students, because they went and they started a church in Fort Collins, Colorado, and that church started a church in Greeley, Colorado, and this church is a product of those two churches. And so it's cool to think that this little group of people who were invited into a mission grabbed hold of that mission, and even though everything wasn't perfect and beautiful and wonderful and happily ever after, it was still really, really cool. And I am so glad that I got invited to go to that student group. And more importantly, I'm so glad that I got invited into a mission that God had for my life. And so that's what I want to talk about here this morning. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would just help us to just understand your heart for us, heart for our lives. Help us to see the purpose, mission, call that you have on each one of us. God, I pray that we would have a good, healthy, biblical balance, that we wouldn't overemphasize one particular point, one particular thing, one particular group, one particular church, one particular ministry, but that our hearts would be fully and completely given to you. And we would be all about your mission, whatever that looks like for our church, whatever that looks like for us as individuals. So we pray that you would just bless this time here mightily, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so if you think about the kingdom of God, a kingdom often has a mission. I think we've talked about this recently, but you can think of, like, I think China's mission would probably be something like to be the greatest in the world at some point, and I think they are targeting everything they do for that mission. And I think at probably sometime in the next 10, 20 years, they will be the greatest country in a lot of different ways. I think of maybe a country like maybe North Korea. I don't know what their mission is, maybe to deceive their people or something, or to make themselves look better than they are. You know, different countries have different missions. And I think kingdoms have missions, and God has a mission for us, and he invites us into his mission. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about this a little bit, but in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to the fishermen, "Come, follow me." This is something he said to several different people, and he gave people an opportunity to make a decision, to respond to that, as we talked about. And I think this is really common for Jesus to call us into something that's on his heart. And one of the things he calls us into is what we call the Great Commission. Jesus, after he was crucified, of course, was resurrected, and then he was on the earth for about 6 weeks. And during that time, he had one message on his heart, and it was basically to go and reach the world with the good news of what Jesus had done for us. And this version is in Matthew 28. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So just as a quick overview, some things that stand out to me about that passage. Jesus wants to call people into a relationship with himself, and part of that is people hearing the gospel message and becoming Christians and getting eternal life. And that is a very significant thing and a very important part of the Great Commission. But he's calling them into more than that, right? He's calling them to disciple others and to teach them everything that they had been taught by Jesus. And so the idea would be not just, hey, I want people to get saved, but he wants people in his kingdom to be followers of him, and to change and to grow and to be more like him. So it affects way more than their salvation, right? It affects the way they love, the way they love God, the way they love other people, the way they have relationships. It affects their marriages and their parenting and their jobs and their finances and their free time and their personal lives, and just every aspect of their life is impacted by that. And so that's part of his mission, is that we would help people hear this good news, to enter into his kingdom, and then to become citizens, to embrace the kingdom, to be his disciples. And I guess the implication there would be that they would, you know, each of us would be growing, not just teaching the kingdom, but we'd be following these instructions ourselves. And I like the very end too, because I think this task of reaching the world sounds pretty intimidating personally. And so I like that he says, "And I'm with you always to the very end of the age." And I also like that because I kind of feel like, oh, hopefully we're kind of close to the end of the age. And yet Jesus is still with us. And so this is a mission that Jesus is calling us into. And I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting to have something significant to live for. And I feel like I was invited into a particular mission, and it wasn't something that was unique to that church back in 1985. But it's a mission that God invites each of us into, and that we get to respond to. We get to follow Jesus in that. In Mark 12:29, Jesus said that the most important commandment was to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And I just wanted to share this, which is called the greatest commandment, because I think it's healthy for us to recognize, as we consider the mission that Jesus has called us onto, that if you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you will be weird. Okay? We just need to accept that. You know, if you just do this one thing that Jesus said was the most important thing, people are going to think you're strange, your choices are strange, your lifestyle's strange, perhaps your job, certainly your church, your involvement in the church, all of that is going to seem really weird. And so when Jesus calls us on this mission, we have to accept a lot of people are going to think that's a really strange thing to do. And so when you accept this mission, I think just to accept that, okay, there's going to be some persecution that comes with that, and perhaps some suffering, and certainly maybe some embarrassment or kind of feeling awkward, like, I don't quite fit in this world. And that's okay. That's okay, because that's just part of the product of following Jesus. If you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, people are going to think that's weird. I think it's important to unite with others on the King's mission, that God doesn't just call us to do this on our own. It's not a Lone Ranger type of thing. But God wants us to unite together, and he's designed us so that we are not to be independent, but to be interdependent, that we need each other, that we interact like a body and like a family, and we have different strengths and weaknesses, and we help each other on this mission. Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And the context there is talking about how we need people in our lives, that it's good to have someone else that you can lean on. In Matthew 10:5, we see that Jesus sent his apostles out on a mission trip, and he sent them out together. And I don't know how much they broke down as they went out, but it is kind of interesting. Even the 12, it's like there's always this group of people, right? It wasn't like he just pulled one guy aside and said, okay, I want to pass this on to you. But they're always in this group. And I think the kingdom of God is a kingdom that's a family, that we're together, and that it's just been designed that way. We need each other. Even a clearer verse is in Luke 10. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So another missionary journey, he sent them out, 72 of them, and he sent them out in pairs, not by themselves, but together. And I think we need each other. If you can imagine being sent out by Jesus, there might be things that he would call you to do that would be a little hard. You know, maybe it helps to have somebody else encouraging you. Like, oh, you know, come on, we can do this. Oh, let's go talk to that person. No, I'm kind of shy. Oh, come on, here, I'll go do the talking. There might even be, you know, one person's good at directions and one person's bad. You know, it's just helpful to be with somebody else. Or one person gets beat up and the other person can help them. Or, you know, one person gets sick and the other can tend to them. You know, we need other people in our lives. And even the pattern here is that Jesus sent people out in groups. A couple of reasons I want us to think about of why we need to be on mission together. One is in John 13:35. Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Which this verse has always fascinated me. It's so cool. This idea that we would have such a deep love for each other that people could come into our midst, come into one of our meetings, one of our events, our church service, whatever, and just watch us and be like, wow, I can tell that you guys are genuinely followers of Jesus Christ. Like, that's pretty wild. It's hard to imagine our love standing out that much. And yet it seems like that was Jesus' heart here. And I think it also kind of reflects back on God. It doesn't necessarily say that in this verse, but almost like if people could see our genuine love for one another, that they would be a little like, wow, God must be real. Like what's going on here is really a God thing and not just a human thing. Oftentimes I think about healing and pray for healing for different people, people in our church, people outside our church. Sometimes done just a little bit of outreach in neighborhoods, going around and praying for people. And I just often think, man, God, if you would heal this person, then they would really know that you're real. And then I think they'd follow you. Because, you know, you go around knocking on doors and talking to people, and just sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, can you pray for my grandma? She's sick. Or can you pray for my nephew? He has cancer. And I want to pray with that heart of, like, kind of, come on, God. You know, work with me here. Do this. Really heal this person. Because it's not just, I honestly, I don't care that much about their health, but I care about their heart. Like, because if you heal this person, they'll know you're real. And then maybe they'll turn to you and get eternal life. I think that's so cool, so cool. So sometimes I get a little frustrated with God and like, come on, work with me, you know, like just heal this person and then it's really going to open doors for your work. And I wonder, just with this verse in mind, if he ever looks at us and just thinks, oh, come on, guys, you know, just love each other. And then people will know that I'm real. And I think it's important that we recognize that this relationship, commitment, devotion that we have to one another is something that is supposed to be so dramatically different that it really stands out to the world and that it shows that God's real. And so I think that's one reason for us to think about our united mission with other people. I forgot to grab a copy of this off the literature table, but on our literature table, I think there's a little trifold on the one another verses. It's something that's been passed around for decades in our churches. But there are all these verses in Scripture that talk about loving one another, all these one another verses, loving one another, being devoted to one another, forgiving one another, praying for each other, just all these different things that have to be lived out in community. And so I think God calls us into community in his kingdom. He says, in my kingdom, this is how we roll, is we're going to have a fierce loyalty to one another and love each other as we're working together on this mission of spreading the message of Jesus to the world. And then the third point there is just to make repeated, continual, and intentional choices to be on mission together. I love the book of Acts. Some people think of it, maybe historically, I've thought of it this way too, it's the history of the early church. And I've been thinking about it more recently as more it's the history of the Holy Spirit working through people in the early church. It's really a story of God at work through these people. And it's really cool when you think of it in that light. And very early on in Acts, I mean, just shortly after Jesus ascended up into heaven, we get a little snapshot of what the early church was like. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And you see that as you go through the book of Acts. I've collected just a lot of verses of you know, and more were added to their number. And the message spread and grew. And just it's just explosive what's going on there in the early church. And I find that to be really exciting. But you see the flavor of their group of people, that they're devoted to one another, and that they're devoted to meeting together, and that they're devoted to the apostles' teaching and to having communion with each other. And that at least at one point they're meeting daily in the temple courts and evidently eating together and meeting in homes on top of that. I don't know, sometimes we can feel like, you know, people back in that day, they just didn't have anything else to do. So I guess that was probably pretty easy for them. And I don't know, maybe that's true. I don't really know what life was like. But on the other hand, it's like, well, they had to cook all their meals from scratch. And they, you know, if they wanted beef for dinner, they had to go kill their cow, or they had to wash their clothes by hand, and they didn't have microwaves. And my guess is they were pretty busy people too. And so when it came time to meet daily in the temple courts, there are probably days that they woke up and they're like, I don't know if I have time for that today. You know, oh, the apostles are teaching again? Oh, I think I've already heard this message, you know. And I would guess they were just very human, just like us. And yet you see this devotion and commitment to one another and to the mission and to Jesus. And I think they just said, we're going to make this happen. We're going to meet together. We're going to be very intentional about being committed to one another. And I think that's really cool. And I think just even in church life, it's a hard mix because obviously we want to have freedom and you know, people are busy, people are discouraged. You know, all kinds of different things are going on, and there's certainly freedom to go to what you want to go to. But just generally, as a general principle, I would really encourage you to go to everything we ever do. Really, I just think that's really good. And I think Dev and I, as pastors or shepherds of the church, we try to be conscious of, you know, we don't want to have a ton of events. We don't want your life filled up with church meetings. We want you to have time to spend time with your family. We want you to have time to reach out to your neighbors and to do other things. And so we try not to have a ton of events. But I would just encourage you, you know, when we have Women of the Word. I would encourage you to go to that. When we have Men of God, I encourage you to go to that. And when we have small group meetings, it's every week. Yeah, go to that. You know, I just think it'd be really, really good. And it will really help you in life. When we have a conference, I'd bend over backwards to go to that. Try to make that happen. I don't know why. They just seem to be really life-changing times. Friday morning men's prayer. Go to that. I mean, it's on Zoom. It's pretty easy now. Just everything you can be a part of, I would encourage you to be a part of it. And when we think about just being really committed to something, we can look at some different examples. I think of Amway, just Amway people. And I don't mean to offend anyone who does Amway, but, you know, they're always trying to, like, hey, can we get together and talk about something? It's like, not so sure about that. But it's on their heart, right? And they're going to Amway meetings, and they're always looking for opportunities. And I remember a guy, like, he left his notebook at a gas station so that I would call him up, return his notebook, and then he could invite me to hear his sales pitch. You know, and they're so intentional. And it's just amazing. And they go to Amway conferences. And why? Well, because they're excited about what they're doing, and they believe in it, and it's what they're giving their lives to, not completely, but significantly. Think about the military. When I think about kingdom, I think a little bit about, you know, kind of soldiers and being under authority and that type of thing. So the military, when the military is trying to accomplish its mission, what do? They meet together. They meet together a lot. And they're all there for PT in the morning, and they're there for everything that goes on, and they just have to be there, and that's just part of it. And you just say, hey, this is what we're doing, and this is the cost, and okay, because that's how we roll. And think of like the NFL. Like, we've talked about this before, but, you know, if Bill Belichick says, hey, we're going to have a meeting, Wednesday night at 3 a.m., you would be there, right? It's just, you just realize, okay, I'm in the NFL, and that's how we roll, because we're trying to accomplish a mission. This must be important to the mission, or at least it's important that I'm united in this mission. Even academics, you know, think of pulling all-nighters. And all my point is here is, this is normal. It's normal to be committed to things and to make sacrifices and to make hard choices to do something that you've given your life to. And so I would just encourage us all to just see that as normal. If this is something you want to do, if you want to give your life to the mission of reaching people together, and you feel like this is the group that God's put you in, then I would encourage you, let's do it together. Let's be together as much as we can, because we need each other. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. And that's just how God has designed us. So I don't think you should feel weird about making sacrifices for the mission that God has put you on. That's just normal. It's normal in the NFL, in academics, in the military, in Amway, in businesses, in all kinds of places. It's normal to make sacrifices. And that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're making the choice of, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to give my life to. If it becomes a duty obligation, like, oh, I have to do this, then that's not cool, and you'll have a bitter heart and things will turn ugly. But I would encourage you to embrace it. Embrace the life. Embrace the invitation that God has given to you. So I guess just kind of in conclusion, I'm not a dynamic, charismatic leader, and I just can't stand here and be like, so, follow me. You know, we'll go to the ends of the earth. And I can't really do that. And even our church, I don't think we're so cool that I can, so, commit to our church for the rest of your life. Who am I sounding like? It's like, it's the Napoleon Dynamite karate guy, I think. Rex Kwon Do. So I don't know if I can do that, but what I can do is I can say, God is inviting you to give your life to his mission. And I just want to encourage you to see that and to take him up on that. And as long as living out that mission means being a part of this group here, I would just encourage you to do that wholeheartedly. And when he calls you to do something else, that's fine too. That's cool. But let's strive together to be on mission and to be doing the kingdom work that is on God's heart. So let's just have about 60 seconds of prayer here. And you can just pray between you and God, just to respond to him however you want. And there's a verse up on the screen there if you want to just think about the invitation. God, thank you for directing my life the way you have. And thank you that I was just blessed to be invited to that student group years ago, and that that group invited me to follow you in a significant way, in a way that I hadn't been following you before that. And God, I pray that you would just help each of us to sense this call on our lives of living for you as our King and responding to the love that you've shown us. And I pray, God, that you would help us to work together to do your work, that you would help our strengths and weaknesses to work together, that we could bring our different gifts to the table, and that together, God, that you would touch many people's lives. Like that little group of students years ago, God, that you touched so many people's lives through their lives and their faith and their sacrifice. God, I pray that you would use our lives to touch other people as well. And so we just love you. Thank you for this time here. And thank you for inviting us into something that's significant to give our lives to. In Jesus' name, amen.